verse. Now, when it comes to the visibility of God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is mentioned in Surah Al-A'raf, verse 143, لَمَّا جَاءَ مُوسَى لِمِقَاتِنَا وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ قَالَ رَبِّ أَرِنِي أَنظُرْ إِلَيْكَ قَالَ لَنْ تَرَانِي وَلَكِنْ أَنظُرْ إِلَى الْجَبَلِ فَإِنْ اسْتَقَرَّ مَكَانَهُ فَسَوْفَ تَرَانِي فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّى رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ جَعَلَهُ دَكًّا وَخَرَّ مُوسَى صَعِقًا فَلَمَّا أَفَاقَ قَالَ سُبْحَانَكَ تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And when Moses came to our appointed meeting, and his Lord spoke to him, he said, my Lord, so who's speaking here? Musa. Musa says, my Lord, show me that I may look at you. رَبِّ أَرِنِي أَنظُرْ إِلَيْكَ. He said, Allah responds, you shall never see me, but look at the mountain. If it remains firm in its place, then you will see me. And when his Lord manifested himself to the mountain, he made it crumble to dust. This ayah, this verse, you know, interestingly, this verse is used by Shias to prove and demonstrate that God can never be seen. And this same verse is used by the Sunnis to prove that it is possible to see God in the hereafter. Subhanallah, the same verse, two opposite conclusions. So the Sunni understanding is Musa asks to see God. And the fact that Musa asked to see God means that it's possible, because Musa would never ask God for something that's impossible. So because Musa is a prophet and he has knowledge and he has wisdom, he would never ask something that is impossible. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what he illustrated to him in that story is that you in your physical reality, in dunya, cannot see God. But in the akhirah, you will be able to see God. However, the Shi'i understanding, and even probably the Mu'tazili understanding, is that this verse speaks directly to the issue of the human inability to see God. Moses knew that God transcended all form and corporeality, and thus could not be seen physically. So the question is, why does Musa ask to see God if he knows that it's impossible? Because that's where the Sunnis misunderstood. So because Musa asked the question, they assumed that Musa was asking for himself. And because Musa knows that it's, you know, if it was impossible for God to be seen, then why does Musa ask? Musa alayhi salam asks to see God, not because he thought that it was possible, but because he was being pressured by Bani Israel. So he poses this question to God only to satisfy the Israelites who had pressured him to ask. Now you may ask, why didn't he ask them to ask? Why does he ask? It's because if they were to ask, obviously they're not going to be, the same answer is going to be given. But if they were to ask and they were not able to see God, they would still say, they would argue that, oh, it's because we asked and God did not allow us to see him. But if you, O Musa, ask, God will surely allow you to see him because you're a prophet. So Musa alayhi salam asks to demonstrate to them that even if the greatest person makes this request, it's not about who is asking, but rather what is being asked is impossible. So he poses this question on behalf of his community because they're pressuring him to ask. And Allah mentions this. وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَى لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكْ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرَةً. And when you said, when Bani Israel said to Musa that we will not believe you till we see God openly. So Musa alayhi salam is afraid that his people are going to become kuffar, they're going to disbelieve. And he knows that if he just tells them, you guys ask to see God, that they're always going to wonder that maybe if Musa asked, God would have revealed himself. So to completely shut the door of argumentation, Musa asks to see God, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly demonstrates the impossibility of seeing God with the physical eye. So the crumbling of the mountain. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the beauty of this verse is Allah, he doesn't just say, you can't see me. You know, Allah gives them evidence, subhanallah. And this is a lesson for us, that even when Allah makes a claim, he shows evidence, he demonstrates. He gives them a visual, he gives them visual aids. You know, so talk about, you know, here's a reference in the Quran to the power of visual aids in the learning process. So Allah doesn't just say, it's impossible to see me. You know, sometimes people, they need visual aids. You know, that's why, you know, now when I go to communities, many times I, you know, if they ask me to actually conduct a class, you know, I do PowerPoint presentations. I show them, because people are visual learners. So the crumbling of the mountain indicates, so why does God say to Musa, look at the mountain? If it remains intact, then you'll be able to see me. But then Allah, he manifests himself. There's a manifestation that takes place. The crumbling of the mountain indicates that seeing God with the physical eye is as impossible as the mountains being able to withstand God's self-manifestation. Now, mountains are seen as the most powerful structures on earth. You know, the mountains are majestic, they're powerful, they inspire awe. You know, they humble you when you look at them. Allah says the mountains that humble you are humbled and decimated when I expose some of my majesty to them. So it demonstrates the annihilating power of that vision. Since even the mountain, so much larger and stronger than Moses himself, was incapable of bearing it. So Allah is basically telling Musa that if the mountain, with all of its power and its strength and its size, is unable to withstand the vision of God, you human being, which are flesh and blood and bone, you're so weak, you're going to be able to see God? Now, this question was also posed to the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salam. There was a man who comes to Imam al-Sadiq, alayhi salam. He says, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, show me God. I want to see God. The Imam, alayhi salam, it seems that he was standing outside and the sun was out. The Imam says, look at the sun. So the man looks at the sun and then he diverts his gaze. He looks at the sun and then he turns his eyes away. The Imam says, why aren't you looking at the sun? The man says, because the rays of the sun are hurting my eyes. The Imam, alayhi salam, says, if you're unable to see the created, you want to see the creator, you cannot look at the sun, which is makhluq. You want to see the creator of the sun? This is impossible. Even in the akhirah, it's impossible. God cannot be seen with the physical eyes, because to be able to see something means that it is limited, that it has to have a form. And if God has a form, it means he's limited. He's confined by space and time. So this, when Allah says, لَن تَرَانِي, it means that you will not see me in dunya or in akhirah. It's impossible, because God is a transcendent reality. And this question was posed also to Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen. This is mentioned in Sermon 179 of Nahj al-Balagha. وَمِنْ كَلَامٍ لَهُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ وَقَدْ سَأَلَهُ ذِعْلِبُ الْيَمَانِ فَقَالَ يَا أَمِيرَ فَقَالَ هَلْ رَأَيْتَ رَبَّكَ يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ was such a spiritual person. He was so... Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen was really ethereal. He, when people spoke to him and interacted with him, it felt like he just didn't even belong in the dunya. That he was just another breed. Another type of human being. So ذِعْلَبُ الْيَمَانِ, he says, have you seen God? Have you seen your Lord, O Commander of the Faithful? فَقَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ أَفَأَعْبُدُ رَبًّا أَفَأَعْبُدُ مَا لَا أَرَى Would I worship something that I don't see? So the Imam alayhi salam, instead of saying no, he answers in a way. So the Imam alayhi salam is not denying the ability to see God. What a beautiful way to answer the question. Have you seen God? Many of us would say no, because God cannot be seen. But look at the way the Imam answers. Would I worship that which is not seeable, that which I cannot see? So Thi'lib probably thought the Imam was referring to, maybe he thought he was referring to the vision of God with the physical eye. وَكَيْفَ تَرَى? How did you see him? You know, maybe Thi'lib was asking for a description of God. What does he look like? So Thi'lib al-Yamani asked the commander of the faithful whether he had seen God. When he replied, do I worship one I have not seen? Then he inquired, how have you seen him? The Imam alayhi salam, then he says, look at this beautiful, wallah, brothers and sisters. I challenge anyone to give me a companion of the Prophet who is able to speak about God in the same way that Ali ibn Abi Talib. And I will leave the wilayah of Amir al-Mu'minin. You know, forget about all of the other arguments. Bring me one sahabi of the Prophet who can speak about God in the way that Ali ibn Abi Talib can speak. You know, you compare the way that Malik ibn Anas speaks about God, the way that Ahmed ibn Hanbal speaks about God, and the way that Ali ibn Abi Talib speaks about God. The Imam says, لا تدركه العيون. And keep in mind that, look at how eloquent the Imam is. And this is an impromptu question. It's not that the Imam spent the night preparing a lecture. These are sermons that Imam is delivering on the spot, off of the cuff, off of the fly. The Imam says, لا تدركه العيون بمشاهدة العيان ولكن تدركه القلوب بحقائق الإيمان. Even the way that it rhymes, so eloquent, so profound. The Imam says, eyes cannot see him face to face. You don't see God with your physical eye in the same way that you see people face to face. How do we see God? ولكن تدركه القلوب بحقائق الإيمان. But hearts perceive him, because the heart has an eye, the eye of the heart. You have something called insight. The hearts perceive him through the realities of belief. And then the Imam continues. You know, most of us, we just stop there. But look at how the Imam continues to describe God. قريب من الأشياء غير ملامس بعيد منها غير مباين. He is near to things, but not through physical proximity. You know, when we say that this is close to that, you know, we're usually referring to the idea that this is physically next to this thing. But the Imam says he is near to things, but not through physical proximity. بَعِيدٌ مِنْهَا غَيْرُ مُبَيِّنٍ. He is far from them, but not by separation. مُتَكَلِّمٌ بِلَا رَوِيَّ مُرِيدٌ بِلَا هِمَّ صَانِعٌ لَا بِجَارِحَ. He is a speaker, but not with reflection. When God speaks, he doesn't have to think and ponder. He intends, but not with preparation. When Allah says, I am placing on earth a vicegerent, there was no planning process, there was no brainstorming process. He intends, but not with preparation. صَانِعٌ لَا بِجَارِحَ. He molds, but not with the assistance of limbs. He molds you in the womb of your mother, but not in the way that you mold things with your hands. So the Imam is speaking about the transcendence of God. لَطِيفٌ لَا يُوصَفْ بِالْخَفَاء كَبِيرٌ لَا يُوصَفُ بِالْجَفَاء بَصِيرٌ لَا يُوصَفُ بِالْحَاسَ. He is subtle, but cannot be attributed with being concealed. He is great, but cannot be attributed with haughtiness. So God is great, but he's not arrogant or dry in the way that he deals with us. He's so kind and merciful. بَصِيرٌ لَا يُوصَفُ بِالْحَاسَ. He sees, but cannot be attributed with the sense of sight. رَحِيمٌ لَا يُوصَفُ بِالرِّقَّةِ. He is merciful, but cannot be attributed with weakness of heart. You know, sometimes you feel sorry for someone because your heart breaks. You know, Sometimes mercy is because our hearts are weak. Allah says, His mercy is not attributed to weakness. He is merciful but cannot be attributed with weakness of hearts. Because of weakness of heart. تَعْنُ الْوُجُوهُ لِعَظَمَتِهِ وَتَجِبُ الْقُلُوبُ مِنْ مَخَافَتِهِ. Faces feel low before his greatness and hearts tremble out of fear of him. This is Amir al-Mu'min. And my final recommendation, brothers and sisters, and we'll conclude here, is that if you really want, you know, one of the best books that I read on the attributes of God was Nahjul Balagha. If you want to know God, if you don't want to fall into anthropomorphism like other Muslims, if you want to understand God in the way that God has described himself, read Nahjul Balagha, especially the first sermon in Nahjul Balagha. There are so many sermons where the Imam alayhi salam speaks about God in the most beautiful way. Nahjul Balagha is pure tawheed. And it's amazing how people accuse the followers of Ahlul Bayt of shirk when the followers of Ahlul Bayt, the Shias, we are promoting the purest form of tawheed. And the evidence of this is Nahjul Balagha. The evidence of this is Sahifa Sajjadiyya. The evidence is Dua Kumayl. This is pure tawheed. If you want to know God and His attributes, refer to the Quran through the lens of Ahlul Bayt and study the way, the sermons of Ahlul Bayt, and study the way that they speak.